Today's reading, as you know, is Psalms 42, and I'm reading from the NIV version. As the day pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food and days and night. While people say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One, with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day, the Lord directs his love. At night, his songs is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Psalm 43. Vindicate me, my God, and plead my cause against an unfaithful nation. Rescue me from those who are deceitful and wicked. You are God, my stronghold. Why have you rejected me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? Send me your light and your faithful care. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy mountain, to the place where you dwelt. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God, my joy, my delight. I praise you with lyre, O God, my God. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. That's the end of the reading.
Very good morning, church, and it's good to be with you again, and thank you for inviting me to bring God's word to you. First of all, I say congratulations to your church to be blessed with a very godly shepherd. So I pray that this church will continue to grow, growing in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just numbers, but spiritually growing in the Lord. So I really want to say, indeed, it's a joy for all of you to have a very godly minister of God's word. So congratulations. Now, the question today asked me, Eddie, why you choose Psalms 42, 43? Oh, it's hard, isn't it? It's very hard to, even hearing God's word, do you feel depressed after listening God's word? Or you feel all right? As I listen to Psalm 42, 43, I feel that, you know, the Lord has spoken to all of you. I don't need to preach anymore. Yeah? Just 2 minutes. All right. Thank you. I can sit down. Now let's pray and ask God to really speak to us today through his wonderful word. Yeah. Let's prepare our hearts and let the Lord speak to us. Father God, we thank you. Thank you for bringing us together. Lord, together to encourage each other through your word. Father, quieten our hearts and let your word speak to us. Let your word encourage us and let your word, Lord, be really help us to focus our eyes on you and you alone. And Father, for those who are going through tough times, we pray that your word will encourage them, your word will bring them back to you. And for all this, we ask and pray in Christ's name. Amen. Now, friend, as we look around us today, we see that there are so many things happening in the world, like flood, war, earthquake, domestic violence, and COVID-19. Now, according to Lancet, published 05 February 2022, let me read to you what they said. Quote, the COVID-19 mental disorder concluded that throughout 2020, the pandemic led to a 27.6 increase in cases of major depressive disorders and 25.6% increase in cases of anxiety disorders globally, unquote. Now, friends, I believe that many Christians are also going through depression because of COVID-19. And this morning, we are going to look at one important issue, and that is spiritual depression. Now, some of us are going through it and find hard to talk about spiritual struggles. And I think that we are not all alone, and even we think that our loving God has deserted us. It is a condition the old mystics rightly labeled, the dark night of the soul. Dear friends, you are not alone. There are godly men and women who go through spiritual depression. Now, it's not secret for a well-known preacher, a Baptist preacher, Dr. C.H. Spurgeon, suffered black periods of depression. His church members were once amazed to hear him begin a sermon from Isaiah 41:14 with these words in his introduction. This is what he said. I have to speak today to myself, and whereas I shall be enduring to encourage those who are distressed and downhearted. I shall be preaching. I trust to myself, for I need something which shall cheer my heart. Why, I cannot tell. Whereof I do not know, but I have a thorn in the flesh, a message of Satan to buffer me. My soul is cast down with me. I feel as if I have rather died than live. All that God hath done by me seems to be forgotten, and my spirit flags and my courage breaks down. I need your prayers. Can you imagine your pastor one day come out and preach, and this is what he started with his introduction? I believe you all feel for the minister. And this is what C.S. Spurgeon felt. Spiritual depression. See, friends, when you look at Psalms 42, 43, we realize that the psalmist too was going through spiritual depression. This psalmist likely described David's experience when David had gone into exile during the rebellion of his son Absalom in Psalm 3. Now, if you recall the part of his life of David from 2 Samuel chapter 15 to chapter 18, Absalom have developed a conspiracy to take down the kingdom away from his father. Absalom would be at the gate of the city every day and speak good to the people. Eventually, he won over the hearts of many of them. So at a certain time, he proclaimed himself to be king. His father fled from Jerusalem to avoid a war within the city. David grieved over his son's rebellion and over those whom he had counted as friends that had turned against him. And he is also greatly grieved that he cannot worship God in the tabernacle which was in Jerusalem. So in these Psalms, he questioned the Lord 11 times as he wonders why God doesn't do something for him. So the question is, how did he manage to come out of it? So let's open God's word and find what is his secret. My first point is, why am I so depressed? So let us look at Psalm 42, verses 1 to 5. In this psalm, it seems that the psalmist was isolated from the temple worship. And therefore, he felt that he was cut off from God. Therefore, he desired to be with God. Small wonder he asked, when shall I go and meet with God? He compares yearning for God to the longing of a deer panting for water. As that song we sang the song, the animals need water to keep it alive. Likewise, friends, we all know that without water, we cannot survive. And here the psalmist knows that what is missing in life is to have a close walk with God. Hunger and thirst are familiar images of the quest for fellowship with God. Ironically, the psalmist only drinks and water has been his own tears. Here the psalmist expected God to comfort him in this time of need. He knows that God has met his need in the past and expected God to meet it again. But for some reason, that help is delayed and it is hard for him to bear. And dear friends, I'm sure you have found it hard for you to bear. You waited and waited for God to answer your prayer. And there is no answer from him. How do you feel? I believe you feel terrible, discouraged, and disappointed. And you feel so depressed, and your tears have been your food day and night. Now, some people believe when you are going through trials, it does come in waves. We think that we are going to drown. This is how the psalmist felt in this psalm. Come with me and look at verse 7. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves, breakers, has swept over me. Can you see that? If you are any sure, you can feel it. It can even feel like wave after wave after wave. They are hitting you. And this distress portrayed by waves and breakers. Trouble had come over him on wave after another. Personified as if they were calling to each other to come down into the waterfalls. Instead of enjoying the living water of the living God, the psalmist has to face the tsunami of life. I believe I heard this person by the name of Horatio. Spafford was born on October 20, 1828 in New York. Now, he was a successful lawyer in Chicago and was an elder, a Presbyterian elder. Now, let us watch the video and ask ourselves, why did he write the song, "It Is Well With My Soul"? Because I got video without sound, so I had to use my YouTube to have the sound, all right?
Spafford was a well-known businessman and lawyer in Chicago during the 1860s.
However, in 1870, things started to go wrong. Horatio's only son was killed by scarlet fever at the age of 4. A year later, it was fire rather than fever that struck. Horatio had invested heavily in real estate on the shores of Lake Michigan. In 1871, every one of those holdings was wiped out by the Great Chicago Fire. Aware of the toll that these disasters had taken on the family, Horatio decided to take his wife and 4 daughters on a holiday to England. So the Spaffords traveled to New York, from where they were to catch the French steamship Ville du Havre across the Atlantic. Yet just before they set sail, a last-minute business development forced Horatio to delay. Not wanting to ruin the family holiday, Spafford persuaded his family to go on as planned. He would follow on later. With this decided, Anna and her 4 daughters sailed east to Europe while Spafford returned west to Chicago. Just 9 days later, Spafford received a telegram from his wife in Wales. It read, "Saved alone." On November 2nd, 1873, the Ville du Havre had collided with the Lochern, an English vessel. It sank in only 12 minutes, claiming the lives of 226 people, including Horatio's 4 daughters. Upon hearing the terrible news, Horatio boarded the next ship out of New York to join his bereaved wife. During Horatio's voyage, the captain of the ship called him to the bridge. "A careful reckoning has been made," he said, "and I believe we are now passing the place where the Ville du Havre sank." Horatio then returned to his cabin and penned the lyrics of the great hymn, "It Is Well." The words which Spafford wrote that day came from 2 Kings 4:26. They echo the response of the Shunammite woman to the sudden death of her only child. "Though we are told her soul is vexed within her, she still maintains that it is well." And Spafford's song reveals a man whose trust in the Lord is as unwavering as hers was. It would be very difficult for any of us to predict how we would react under circumstances similar to those experienced by the Spaffords. But what we do know is that the God who sustained them would also be with us.
Friends, these 3 tragic narratives in 1870, 1871, and 1873 could have caused him to renounce his faith in God. But because of his trust in God's sovereignty, he still can proclaim, "It is well with my soul." It would be very difficult for any one of us to predict how we would react under circumstances similar to those experienced by him. But we do know that the God who sustained them will also be with us. No matter what circumstances overtake us, maybe we be able to say with him, "When peace like a river attended my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my Lord thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should baffle, though trials should come, let this bliss assurance control, that Christ has regarded my helpless estate, and had shown his own blood for my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul." My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, are you able to say that too? It is well with my soul. Now, it was hard enough to be far away from the temple of God. And now those non-believers who were like thorns in his flesh were coming to the psalmist and mocking him, "Where is your God?" In Psalm 43, verse 1, we read that the psalmist prayed for vindication and deliverance. But he was disappointed and despaired because the God whom the non-believers mocked seems indifferent and far away. Small wonder he was spiritually down. Have you ever felt like this? That God has left you? It's the greatest test of faith when the God to whom you cry apparently does nothing. But now the psalmist realizes the way out. So come with me and let's look at Psalm 43, verses 3 to 4. What do we see here? He now asks God's light and God's truth to be his guide. And then he will bring him back to Zion. The light of God speaks of the fullness of salvation in the presence of God. The truth of God is an expression of his covenantal faithfulness. Here the psalmist trusts that God's steadfast love and faithfulness, the characteristic of God, will indeed hear his prayer and bring him to God's dwelling place. So in this passage, the psalmist recognizes that going to God is not merely human ability. God must help from the beginning. One comes to God with the help of God. You see, the atheists and others mock at Christians by asking, "Where is your God when Russia attacks Ukraine? Where is your God when so many people suffer and die of COVID-19? If he is a just and good God, why didn't he stop the war, COVID-19 and the earthquake? And for those who are Christians, have lost their loved ones in Ukraine, COVID-19 and other illness. It was hard, friends, it was hard to receive such words from these non-believers. When my late mother-in-law was suffering from bone cancer, her siblings were mocking at her. They were at her bedside and asked her, "Where is your God and why didn't he answer your prayer and heal you?" Can you imagine? Instead of getting comfort and sympathy from them, they mocked at my mother-in-law. And she became a Christian at age of 60 plus. See, friends, when ungodly people are unkind to us and mock at our faith in God, do not be discouraged, do not be disheartened. It's because they are not mocking at you. They are mocking at our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to what the Lord Jesus said to his disciples. "If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it will love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That's why the world hates you." Now I hope you understand why the non-believers mock at us who are Christ's disciples. My second point, the solution to our depression. See, when the psalmist mocked by the unbelievers, did he give up and walk away from God? He said, I give up. My relatives mock at me. My colleagues mock at me. When I go to office, they mock at me, I give up. No. The word of God tells us that he remembered. He remembered the happiest time when he led the fastest pilgrims to the house of God. When he was down with depression, what did he do? When we are down with depression, what do we do? Some of us go for shopping, sleep the whole day, or get very angry with our loved ones, or angry with our dogs and kick our dogs and our cats, or get drunk. The psalmist tells us how we can win over depression. Firstly, look at verse 4, 42:4. Firstly, he remembered how God has helped him in the past. And that is one of the greatest things to do when you begin to experience spiritual depression. Think back to what God has done for you in the past. Remember. See, friends, some people have a habit of remembering only the bad things. They recall how they did not do very well in their exams. They recall how their boyfriend or girlfriend left them. They recalled how they were mistreated by their boss. They recall how their church leaders ill-treated them in the past. But here the psalmist is showing us that the memory can be an important help. Remembering the positive experiences of God's blessing. He says, I will remember how I used to go with a multitude leading the procession to the house of God with shouts of joy and thanksgiving. I will remember the happiest time I have with God. As you know that I told you a few months ago, I have lung cancer. And went through chemo. Yes, some of you have gone through. Chemo is hard, isn't it? So I was lying in the bed. Honestly, I was a bit self-pity. Why am I going through this? No, why me? Always why me? But I remember. I remember how I became a Christian from the first day. I remember how God blessed me. How God was so kind to me. How God see me through difficult times. I remember. Secondly, in the midst of his distress, he still remembered God's love towards him. By day and night, the psalmist experienced God's protection, care, and blessing. He sang praises to Yahweh and prayed to him. The very experience of communion with God made God real to him as the God of his life. Therefore, he confidently believed that God will deliver him from his spiritual depression. Now, if you have attended at Anthony Robbins' seminars and those of other motivational speakers, you will realize that they encourage you to talk to yourself. You are able to kick your bad habits. You are able to be a successful person if you believe that you can. Believe in yourself. You can do it. Here the psalmist is not asking the readers and us to look at the mirror and tell ourselves that you will be okay. Don't worry. Be happy. Sing that song, it'll be all right. Don't worry. Be happy, you'll be happy, yeah? Remember, everything will be okay when you wake up the next morning. In Psalm 42, verse 5, 11, and Psalm 43, verse 5, we notice the psalmist talks to himself. He analyzes his feelings and asks questions. Why are you downcast, oh my soul? Why are you depressed, oh my soul? Here the psalmist admitted admitted that he was depressed. He did not murmur and blame God for the cause of it. Instead, he threw his frustration to God. See, friends, when you and I are downhearted because of relationships, business, family issues, work, grief, sorrow, and whatever circumstances you are facing today, you need to look within yourself and tell yourself not to give up, but put your hope in God. When I'm spiritually down, I talk to myself. Now, it does not mean that I'm going mad, I'm going crazy. Yeah? Many times I remind myself that people are praying for me and God loves me. So do not be discouraged. Put your hope in God. Remember how God has guided you in the past, and you can be sure that He will continue to see you through. When I ponder upon His word and meditate upon it, I find that it is helpful. And it does help me to turn to God and trust that He will heal my wounds, strengthen me, and spiritually refresh me. And so therefore, friends, it is important. It's important to read God's word. Even though some of us have been Christian for so many years, we still read God's word, isn't it? Even those of us that have gone to Bible college, we think that, oh, I don't need to read the Bible. I have gone through Bible college. I got my BTH, I got my master, I got my PhD. Don't need to read. But we still read God's word. The late Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, in his book, Spiritual Depression, said, quote, yeah, "We must talk to ourselves instead of allowing ourselves to talk to us." Do you realize what that means? Most of our unhappiness in life is due to the fact that you are listening to yourself instead of talking to yourself. The main art in the matter of spiritual living is to know how to handle yourself. You have to address yourself, preach to yourself, question yourself. Can you see that? You have to address yourself, preach to yourself, question yourself. You must say to your soul, "Why are you downcast, O my soul? Put your hope in God instead of murdering in this a depressed, unhappy way." And then you must go on to remind yourself of God. Friends, we all know that some mornings when we spring out of bed, bright eyes, and with a joyful spirit, and say, "Good morning, Lord Jesus, good morning," with a happy smile. And there are other mornings when we wake up and feel moody and say, "What's so good about this morning, Lord Jesus? I drag myself to work." These are the mornings that are in view here. The answer to each blue mood is, "Why are you downcast, Eddie? Why so disturbed within me? Eddie, put your hope in God." And this is what the word of God is saying to you and I in these Psalms. Put your hope in God. When you try everything to take you out of your spiritual depression and nothing seems to help, then there's nothing left but to rest upon God's word, His truth, and to allow them to heal your troubled heart. As Jesus said, come to me, those who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. In Psalm 42, verse 8, the psalmist used Jehovah instead of Elohim. Elohim means Lord with a small letter. And this was a turning point in his difficult experience. Is it Jehovah is the God of the covenant, the faithful God who cares for his people. He's the God who showers people with loving kindness, gives them promises they can claim when they pray, and hears them when they praise and worship. The hand of God was with him in the daytime, and the song of the Lord in the long hours of the night. So, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, everything might be changing, but you can be sure that Jehovah is still our rock, stable, strong, and unchanging. In closing, as brothers and sisters in Christ, if you know of those who are going through spiritual depression, be sensitive to their needs by being there for them and pray for them. Is there a cure for spiritual depression? Yes. But it is not in us. It is in God. The cure to seek God so that you and I will not be downcast. Now listen to the encouraging word of the late Reverend John Stott. The cure of depression is neither to look in at our grief nor at our problems, but away and up to the living God. He is our help and our God. And if we trust him now, we shall soon have cause to praise him again. Unquote. If today some of you are going through hard times, friends, do not be dismayed. Put your hope in God. And be confident that he will guide you and help you through your trials and pains. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why is so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him. So let me close with this wonderful word of God taken from the book of Philippians chapter 4, 6 to 9. I'd like you to join with me by reading God's word together. So let's encourage each other by reading this wonderful assurance word of God. Are you ready? Let's read together, yeah? Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me, or even seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Can you see the two, verse 7, verse 9? And the peace of God and the God of peace be with you. And I pray that the Lord will indeed encourage us this morning through his wonderful word. Let's pray. Father God, as we come together, we thank you for your wonderful word in Psalms 42, 43. Thank you, Lord, for reminding us when we are downcast, when we are depressed, when we are suffering with pains, going through difficult times. Lord, we can look up to you to know that, Lord, you will see us through. Oh, why are we downcast? Oh, my soul, put your hope in God. Put your trust in God. So, Lord, thank you for this wonderful, encouraging word you've given to us. Knowing that, Lord, whatever we are going through, we know that you are with us. With this, we are thankful and grateful to you. In Christ's name, we give thanks. Amen.